Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And during this Holy Week, we are more than grateful. We are more than thankful, Lord God. And as we gather tonight to share in Holy Communion, to do what you have told us to do, we pray that you're here by your Spirit. You're here among us, Lord God. Work in our hearts, all who are watching online or in person. Work in us and through us, Lord God. And let your Spirit revive us again for the journey. In Christ's name, amen. I was just thinking for a moment, who would have thought that it would be this warm today? And the funny thing is, I'm normally here and walking around, but today I was so busy getting all the bulletins ready, I never left my office. We don't need the heat, so why should I come and check? Never came in here. Not that anything would have been different, but here we are, and we will survive. Amen. When the choir was singing, I closed the windows so that you don't hear the trucks and all of that beeping, you know, behind, because you could hear all the noise. But God is with us, right? God is with us, and we are moving along. My sermon title today is An Example Molded by Love. And what an example that have been set for us. The songwriter says, there is a hymn that says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And the third verse says, souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows is will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Wants you to be saved today. Love lifted us. And thanks be to God for that, the love of Jesus Christ that would lift us up. What a love story it is. This love story that we do not even can even comprehend. Next slide. The word example is defined as one that serves a pattern to be imitated or not to be imitated, right? An example is something either that you can imitate or not imitate. It says in John 13:15, for I've set you an example, Jesus says, we just heard it read, that you also should do as I have done to you. That whatever he has done to them on that night, they should do. He has set an example. And you remember on that night, Jesus knew that he was facing his death. He knew that he was going to be leaving. He knew that. And it was the Passover night. Tomorrow is Passover, but it was a Passover there in Israel, in Jerusalem, so to speak, on that night. And they would sit to celebrate the Passover meal, because it was a commandment from Yahweh, from God, to the children of Israel. That was the time when the angel of death had passed over the Israelites and saved them. And the Lord told them that they should always commemorate that day. And so when they celebrate the Passover meal, every Jewish person seeks to do that. Whether they're Orthodox or they're more secular, when it comes to Passover, they want to do that. And then on that plate, there are different things, the bitter herb and oil, different things that they use. And that was that night. And Jesus would be with his disciples on that day to celebrate the Passover meal. And so he's setting an example. But the example is not about the Passover meal at all. Next slide. The title is an example molded by love. You know, when you mold something, you really try to knead it in, right? To get it in. Right? And so mold or molded is to determine or influence the quality or nature of something or someone. Right? To influence the nature or quality of someone or something. So Jesus says in John 13, verses 16 to 7, he says, "Verily, very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their masters, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." So he was setting them an example that they should be servants. We as Christian believer, the main goal is to what? Serve. We are called to be servants. And so Jesus is now speaking to his disciples, and he wants them to know this, and he wants us also to know, because this word would be left for us. Next slide. A couple of places I've read these two quotes. The Empire of Love says, "Jesus Christ alone founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him." That the only empire that was set on love is the empire of Jesus. That's what the Jews could not understand on Palm Sunday. That it would not be a battle or war, because it was set on love. And then this other one, the second one, is super glue of love. And I quote, it says, "As I contemplate the cross, I grasp that its wonder is not in its appearance, but in the super glue of love that took Christ to the cross and held him there." Love took Christ to the cross and held him there. And the writer called it the super glue of love. The kind of love that propelled him to the cross and left him on the cross. Next slide. And then oftentimes you've heard me talk about the agape love, which is agape is Greek, and it really means the unconditional love. Agape love is acting in the interest of others, no matter who they are, how we feel, or what it costs. And it has been said that the love that God has for us is the agape love. We as parents don't even have agape love for our children, because we don't always do what is best for them. We may think we're doing it, but we're not perfect. But this agape love is what Jesus had for us, that he would send his son to die. Notice how John introduces this scene in John 13 verse 1. He says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full of extent of his love. And what was the full extent of his love? What was it? What did he do? He did the most menial thing. The extent of his love was not to get them a vacation. The extent of his love was not to give them a car. The extent of his love was not to give them money. The extent of his love was to do what? Was to kneel down on his knees and to wash the feet of the disciple. Because he wanted to teach them humility. He wanted to teach them service. So the extent of his love, the scripture tells us, that on that night, when they were having the Last Supper, as we call it, the Last Supper, he would what? He took the towel, put it around his waist, and then he had a basin with water. And remember, those feet and the men would be dusty and dirty, because they lived in a place where it's mostly desert, and they were not wearing shoes, right? Very dusty. When you go to Israel, you see how it is. And so part of the routine of those places, before you enter someone's house, is to wash your feet. That is a historical fact. When you're in the Mediterranean area, when you go into someone's house, you take off the shoe that you're wearing, the sandals, so to speak, and wash your feet. And Jesus, to demonstrate servanthood and the great love he had for them, can you imagine? He's going to die for them and for us. He knelt down and he washed their feet. That's what he wanted them to leave with. You see, the early church would never have started if Jesus had left them with something else. That's why they became such servants in the early church. They would die for the church. Stephen was stoned to death. Peter would die. But they were propelled to build the church, to serve Jesus Christ. Because on that night, he wanted them to know that you're going to serve me. And so he wanted them to understand the full extent of his love for them, as he wants us to understand the full extent of his love for us. I know sometimes we forget it and we minimize it, but it's deep, deep abiding love that Christ has for us. And then once we understand that Christ loves us, then there must be what? Transforming love. Next slide. Transforming love. In this, the love of God, the scripture says, was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins, to pay the price, right? Right? To be ransomed for our sins. The sins that were committed by Adam and Eve, right? The appropriation of that sin, would that Jesus' death would be given for the sins of the world, for your sin and my sin, that God would love us so much, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. Amen? Amen? And would send his Son for us. And so we see it here, don't want to move up yet, that God, this whole message of this story is at the very end. After Jesus had washed your feet, then he said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Can you imagine if Christians were really loving one another? right? If we're really going out of our way to love one another. Because that's what expected of us, right? That we would be such an example in the world, that we would be different from everybody else. That when you come to church, and it doesn't matter what status, what color, where you work, what you have, it wouldn't matter, because we would be such loving people to each other. Because the Lord said it. And because He loves us. And so we are reminded tonight that what He's going to do, what is going to happen to Jesus tomorrow, what happened to Jesus on Good Friday, was all because of love. Because He loved us so much that He would do it to the end. Next slide. And so you see at the top of this slide, of this picture, I hope you could see it, it says three ways Christ said, "I love you." It says, "I love you," as it said, the scripture says, "greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." No greater love than what Jesus did for us. And then it is finished. When Jesus had received the sour wine, that's on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He had accomplished what He had come to accomplish. And on Sunday morning, we will remember again that He is risen. And all of this is done because of love. Because of the love that Jesus Christ has for us. And so I want to leave you with one thought, one note for yourself and for myself, so that we can remember this, right? We can remember this for ourselves as we sometimes feel alone, or we feel alone and we don't know what is happening, right? Nobody cares about us and we feel so alone. Imagine what our church would look like if all of us became people who instinctively acted in interest of others, naturally putting others' well-being ahead of our own. Imagine the transformative impact that kind of love would have on this congregation and our witness to the world. Just imagine, right? If we were loving or real loving folks, right? Not just in front of folks, but behind them. Love them so much that we would watch over them. Now, if you have never allowed Jesus Christ, friends online and those who are here, if you have never allowed Jesus Christ to love you, to wash away your sins through His death on the cross, that's where your journey begins, if you have never allowed Him. So I invite you, those who are listening and those who are here, I invite you to seek out someone when we're done and say, "I want to know more about that love." Ask someone. If you have never felt that love, ask the pastor, ask someone in the church, "I want to know more about that love." And truly, someone, I believe, would be happy to tell you about it. And for those of us who have been washed, let's invite the Holy Spirit to produce in us the fruit of love. Let the Holy Spirit begin to produce the fruit of love. Let's look for opportunities to love and to be loved, that we might do for one another what Jesus has done for us. If we know that we have been saved by grace, if we know that through the blood of Jesus we have been washed, and that heaven has become a free gift for us, and that heaven is our eternal home, we should be busy wanting to do that for someone else. Because the Lord told us we should do what He has done for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.